Welcome, everyone, to the newest episode of Way Back in Kodiak. My name is Anjali Grantham. I'm the curator of collections and exhibits at the Baranof Museum. And today we have guests from all over Alaska, people that work at museums in Juneau, in Bethel, and in Kodiak. And we're going to be talking about museum advocacy and about a bill that is currently working its way through the House that will benefit museums across the state. So I want to welcome my guests today. And would you please introduce yourself? Tiffany, could you begin?
I'm Tiffany Brunson. I'm the executive director of the Kodiak Historical Society and Baranof Museum. And I'm also a member of the Advocacy Committee for Museums Alaska.
Thank you, Tiffany. Jane, could you please continue?
Sure. My name is Jane Lindsay. I work at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. I'm the director here. I'm also a board member of Museums Alaska and the chair of the Advocacy Committee.
Great. And finally, Eva.
Hi, my name is Eva Malvich. I'm the museum director curator for the Upi-Pikiri-Lite Museum here in Bethel, Alaska.
Great. What is Museums Alaska? I know that those that work for museums in Alaska are very familiar with the organization, but maybe our listeners are not. Jane, could you maybe answer that?
Sure. So Museums Alaska is a statewide association of Alaska's museum professionals and volunteers. We work in museums and cultural centers, and we've come together to provide opportunities for museums and cultural centers to serve Alaska with what we call best practices. So some of what we do is educate ourselves, but also educate the public for the purpose and function of museums in Alaska and how important they are to all of us in our everyday lives.
Yes, thank you. I think Museums Alaska provides many services to those that work in museums, and as a result, the communities in which we work feel the benefits as well, because we improve our practices and our ability to communicate with the public and preserve our collections. And so Museums Alaska, even though it on the surface serves museum professionals, in the end, people from around the state receive the benefits of programs and education that Museums Alaska provides. So thank you for your board service, Jane and Eva.
Sure. And it is good to note we are a membership organization, but we are available to everyone.
And this January, just a few weeks ago, there was a whole group of us that descended upon Juneau for the second annual Juneau fly-in, CHAMP. Eva, could you maybe tell us a bit about CHAMP? What is it, and how did it begin?
So CHAMP really is an acronym. It stands for Culture, Humanities, Arts, Museums. I think Professionals is what the P stands for. So we're a group of people who are interested in humanities and arts. There are several organizations that are involved. Museums Alaska, which I'm a part of, is one. The Historical Society of Alaska is another one. And I believe the State Council on the Arts is the other. And so we came up with that theme. And this was our second year that we had a legislative fly-in. And our focus, like last year, was on a House bill. This year, it's House Bill 52. It's enabling legislation relating to construction and renovation of museums and cultural centers around the state.
Thank you. I know that last year I participated in the fly-in, as did you, Eva and Jane, but this was Tiffany's first year going to Juneau to work on advocacy. Tiffany, could you tell us a bit about your experience in Juneau?
Yeah, I wasn't able to go last year. I really wanted to, and actually it was really great getting the opportunity to go this year. Museums Alaska's particular focus was on House Bill 52, and then other CHAMP partners had their own priorities. But being able to talk to our legislators, advocating for our museums, which obviously for all of our partners are very close to our hearts, was a great experience. Alaska, I think, is really privileged in that you can just make an appointment and go talk to your legislator, any of your legislators, in their own offices. That's not something you can always get in other states. And it was amazing being able to actually speak to the people about our museums, about cultural centers, and about the importance of the arts and humanities in Alaska.
And it's also lots of fun.
It is lots of fun. It's great being able to go with a group of people who are equally as committed and equally as enthusiastic about the arts and humanities. And then to talk to our senators and our representatives about that.
One thing that's really special about the CHAMP fly-in is that coincides with the Governor's Awards for the Arts and Humanities. We spend days working, advocating for the thing that we're passionate about, and then we get to celebrate the results of our work at the Governor's Awards. So let's talk a bit about HB 52, House Bill 52. Jane, could you maybe tell us a bit, what is HB 52 and how did it come to be?
Sure. So HB 52 actually started last year with our first legislative fly-in, which before that, I'll have to go back a little bit, we were finding that the 4-acre and through the McDowell Survey Group had worked with museums around the state and looked at infrastructure needs. They're finding that museums are coming to 4-acre doing pre-capital studies with them. So I believe that precipitated this survey, which actually found that of the museums surveyed, which were over 50, 75% of them identified significant capital improvement needs in the next 5 years. That's a very high number. And what it also found was that the budgets that these museums operate with are relatively small, with small staff and small resources, but yet the amount of money that they need to raise for these infrastructure needs, which are anything from building renovations, they're also expansion of collection storage areas, security needs, and exhibit needs, were overwhelming for the size of the staff and the budget. So it really focused our group, Museums Alaska, on the need to bring this awareness forward. And what we found was a model that has worked very well, which was the Library Construction Grant Program. And this had been started years ago by libraries around Alaska who had similar needs for their buildings. And it has worked very well with a bill that they successfully passed, I believe, in 2008. So we took to that legislation and with a mission to talk to our legislators. And Representative Bob Herron, Eva's representative from Bethel, decided to help us with this. And that is the birth of, of HB 52.
Thank you. I'm curious. I know that Kodiak listeners are familiar with the library grant program, even if they don't know that they are. It's because of that grant program that we were able to get the funding together to build the new library locally, which is a treasured resource. It's been open for only over a year now, but already is a centerpiece in our community being used constantly. And so essentially, HB 52 is hoping to extend that program, changing it to apply to museums. And one thing that I think is interesting about museums is that we have particular and specific challenges that are different from other capital projects. It's not just building a new museum, because sometimes that's not appropriate for what we need. So Eva, could you tell us a bit about what your museum needs at this moment related to capital expenses and why HB 52 matters to people in Bethel?
Sure. So years ago in 1967, when Alaska celebrated the 100th anniversary of the purchase of Alaska from Russia, the community of Bethel raised $5,000 and the state matched it. We were able to get enough logs to build a museum. How many years later, we're in another facility that was built in 94 for the collection management. And what happened over time is our water here is hard. The minerals are horrible on our HVAC. And so it was shut off over 13 years ago. And for a museum not to have humidity control is not a good thing. And so with this bill, we're hoping that we can at least look at renovating the facility to get the HVAC running again. I'm also in our collection room right now looking at my collection of baskets and my ivory pieces. I'm going to need more room because we're entering into two major projects. One of them is out in Kunahak, the Nunavik project, where they're doing a big excavation, and the Aberdeen University people are involved. The last count I heard, they had 80,000 objects taken out of the ground, and they'll be returned here in about 3 years, so I have to get ready for that. I'm also working with the local school district on an archive project for Yupik curriculum. The administrators in these 22 sites are seeing that staff are inadvertently throwing away Yupik material that was made in the 70s and 60s, and so they would like to have them scanned and shared online, and our museum will be the recipient of that when the project is over in 3 years. So you can see we're growing by leaps and bounds, which is a great thing.
It's true. In the end, we're always collecting the past, but the amount of past materials always grows. And so every museum at some point comes up to the place in which they cannot fit one more object in that space. And so I know that that's a challenge for many facilities. So, of course, we all know why a museum would need an HVAC system, but I think many listeners in Alaska think, HVAC, why do we need air conditioning? My goodness, this is Alaska. Tiffany, do you think you could explain why an HVAC system is something that's important for museums?
Sure. The HVAC really manages the temperature of your collections as well as air quality and humidity, which can really be a detriment to collections, especially delicate things like the baskets that Eva mentioned and baskets that the Baranoff Museum also has. Having varying temperatures within your collections rooms causes materials to expand and contract, which can do major damage to something as fragile as a basket or gut skin materials and other materials like that, as well as the humidity, which if you're not controlling your humidity at specific temperature, at specific levels, can really destroy a lot of materials.
Yeah, so this isn't for the comfort of museum staff people in the end. This is for the preservation of the objects that once we acquire into our collections, we make a pact that we will care for them into perpetuity. So once something is donated to the museum, we then have the responsibility to not only store it, keep it, and exhibit it, but also care for its conservation and preservation over time. So having stable environmental conditions makes this possible. And considering the wide temperature variation in Alaska, it's something that, you know, it's constantly in flux. I mean, how cold is it today in Bethel, Eva?
Well, right now it's almost 40. About 2 weeks ago, it was about 30 below with wind chill. The parts of the year, it's so dry that the humidity goes down to the teens. Right now, it's in the 20s. So that fluctuation is a problem for me.
It is.
I'm looking at my ivory pieces, and I've seen a couple of carvings that have cracked because of the humidity fluctuating. And, as a curator, it's my job to preserve this. There's only so much I could do. And if people understood what treasures we hold from thousands of years ago, we want to preserve them for our great-great-great-grandkids in the same condition that we found them.
Certainly, objects from our great-great-great-great-grandparents for our great-great-great-great-grandchildren. That's what we do, isn't it?
Right on. Yep.
Jane, I'm wondering if you could tell us a bit about some of the other projects that if HB 52 passes, that means that the state will then provide matching funds for these other capital improvement projects. Could you give us a sense of other communities, other institutions that have large capital projects that are coming up?
Sure, Anjali. And to let you know the extent of the communities that did come down to the fly-in, we were represented by Valdez, Fairbanks, Juneau, Ketchikan, Homer, of course, Kodiak, Sitka, and Anchorage. And I would say all of these communities have projects in the works. I do know that Homer has been fundraising for a new building for several years now, and they've basically outgrown theirs. Those of us who have visited the Pratt museum. It's a wonderful museum, and they have a very small collection space, and it's also hard to navigate the building with the stairs that they have. So they're looking for a new facility. They've have schematic designs complete. They have funding. I think they've got, I think they're close to 70% of their funding. And of course, this bill is, it's asking for some, it supplies very solid, a solid framework to fundraising. It's a 50-50 match. So any facility that has needs needs to come with their plans in place. They need to have 50% of the match available. And then it offers a way for us to look at the readiness of a project, the feasibility of a project, and also this is a really good way to work. It's worked well with the libraries, and we think it would also work well with museums in that it takes time to plan, but it also takes time to come to the table with something, and that would also be provided. Another one of the communities that has a need is the Chilkat Kwan Cultural Heritage Center in Klukwan. And they have been, they have wonderful land on the river. They have an exterior construction completed of their building, but they need to complete the interior. They need to fund their exhibits. That is something that, unlike other facilities, is very unique to museums. Just like Eva and Tiffany are talking about, our environment, putting in an appropriate HVAC system is one step. Putting in appropriate collections, racks, and storage is another step. And then having exhibit cases that are going to properly secure, light, and exhibit these precious cultural artifacts. I mean, this is our cultural heritage here. That's also another very large cost. And I also know that Ketchikan, they are now in a building that has been vacated by their old library, and they need help renovating it.
Tiffany, I think it would be wonderful if you could tell us about what the Baranoff Museum would like to use HB 52 to accomplish.
Yeah, so the Baranoff Museum was opened in 1967 with centennial funds. Our building is considerably older than that, but we started as a museum in our current building almost 50 years ago now. In the time that we've been open, we've had some great exhibits growing slowly and kind of organically over time. And we're currently are in the process of redesigning all of our permanent exhibits, a two-year process, and we have the design primarily complete at this point. What we're looking for from HB 52 and from other funding sources is the money to construct those exhibits, to create new permanent exhibits in the Baranoff Museum that give a more comprehensive and coherent view of Kodiak's incredibly rich and long history. We haven't had the opportunity to ever really do exhibits from the ground up before. So we've had sort of a piecemeal approach. Our exhibit cases are not really appropriate. They're not museum quality exhibit cases, and they're not appropriate for storing collections, even though we've been using them for decades now. We really need new cases. We need new floor plans and just new exhibits entirely that can showcase Kodiak's history in a better way, in a way that will give our visitors a more comprehensive view and to come away with a real idea of the scope of our history.
Thank you. Yes. And the centennial projects that we've been referring to, it was in 1967 that Alaska celebrated the 100-year anniversary of the Alaska Purchase. And at that point, the federal government gave Alaska a pot of money to use for cultural heritage projects and for tourism development projects. And so many of Alaska's earliest museums were funded with this centennial funding money. So in Bethel, you mentioned, Eva, the log museum that was initially constructed. Here in Kodiak, it was the Baranoff Museum that first opened thanks to this funding. And the Alaska State Museum in Juneau got a new museum that year. as well as other institutions. In Kodiak, another project that was funded from the Centennial Grant Program was The Cry of the Wild Ram, the play that was a local institution through the mid-90s. And so the Centennial Grant Program was an opportunity for Alaskans to consider this 100-year anniversary since Alaska became American from being a Russian colony before, and an investment in our cultural heritage. And so now, in 2017, we're going to be celebrating the 150th anniversary of the purchase. Some might call it the sesquicentennial, but that's kind of a mouthful for a lot of us. So this is HB 52, and this is an opportunity for us to reinvest in the cultural infrastructure of Alaska and to really update a lot of these institutions that were originally founded 50 years ago. I can't imagine that when the Baranoff Museum was founded 50 years ago, that they thought it would take another 50 years for us to get new exhibits, but maybe they did. It's in the end, we're constantly considering the past, but planning for the future. I think that's almost the motto of museums in Alaska. Where are we right now, Jane, with HB 52? Could you give us a sense as to what needs to happen still and where the bill is?
Sure. So at this point, it was wonderful. Just last month, we were able to meet with Representative Herron, and the bill has been referred to the Education Committee. But it has, and soon when it's up for hearing, we'll all be called to testify, which is would be an important next step in supporting it and talking to the Education Committee about its importance in the state of Alaska. And so Eva and I did ask Representative Herron, what can we do right now? And he said what's really important right now is for those of us in the museum community, volunteers, board members, those of us who use museums, to write letters of support to our legislators, to speak about the bill and, share a personal story about why cultural centers, museums in your community are important. And if you're a board member or a volunteer in a museum, you may know even a little bit more about the internal workings of the organization. Send those to your legislators and also forward them on to Representative Herron.
You know, the visit in Juneau, I was able to do a lunch and learn along with two other people, and I brought Gutskin along with me as a prop. My point to legislators and their staff that attended was, if I could expand our facility and make it a repository to serve, you know, the needs out here that the tribes want to see, I would be able to hire professionals in our field that I can't do right now. There's only two of us were grant writers, were the janitors, we're the mounters, you know, we do the advertising, we do everything. But, with this funding, if I could have my dream come true, I would be able to build this facility and to sustain it. I would provide professionals here who could be used by other entities as a resource. And I hope people understand it's not just about preserving an object, it's bringing your culture alive, bringing it back, and preserving it so kids will know who we are and where we came from.
Indeed. What can listeners do to lend support to this? Jane?
I would say speaking with your legislators is number one. And maybe even before that, contact your local museum. Are you a museum goer? Have your children gone to education programs there? Have you gone to exhibits, exhibit openings? Ask yourself how important is your museum or cultural center in the community that you live in, and reach out to them. That would be something that I would encourage listeners to do. And I suppose if you're not sure, go down and visit that facility and actually think about what your local museum and your cultural center does to keep your cultural history alive, preserved, exhibited, what kind of educational outreach they supply your community, what kind of opportunities to local artists and the community in general. They're, I think, in many respects, and of course I'm in the field, so I'm a believer, but they're quiet giants in communities, and there's a lot of volunteers, and there's a lot of local support for these facilities and these institutions. And now we need to help support the continuation of these institutions and these facilities. So it really is our turn to step up to the plate and think about how important they are in Alaska and to help them survive.
Thank you, Jane. Any final words, anything else that we should mention before signing off? Tiffany?
I think if you're considering, you know, the importance of museums in your community and what you can do, as Jane said, the most important thing at this point for supporting this bill is just write your legislators. It's easy to find their contact information on the Alaska State Legislature webpage.
Eva, any final words?
Oh, absolutely. I encourage anybody who's in our area to come and visit us at the museum. We're located in the Cultural Center. I love to do tours of our facility and keep an eye out on the continuing ed classes that we're offering. Like Jane said, we're a sleeping giant. There's so much potential for us. It's just a matter of the resources that we can acquire. We are going to have a Fishkin class at the end of March. We're excited about that. We found a local who lives in Sitka who's been dabbling in Fishkin, so we're inviting her back for that. So the other thing, too, we're also on Facebook. If you happen to be browsing, go to Yupik Museum. We post a lot of pictures and events, as well as information on the legislative flying that we just came back from.
Thank you. And Jane, any final words?
Yeah, I would encourage everyone, of course, to go to the Museums Alaska website, and there is a tab called Advocacy, and there is more information about all of this that we're talking about and Museums Alaska.
And just a quick postscript, Senator Gary Stevens of Kodiak has just come forward with a companion bill for HB 52 on the Senate side, which will hopefully help to speed up the process so that this legislation will pass this year. So thanks to Senator Stevens for doing that. And please write Senator Stevens, write Representative Stutz, and let our representatives know that you support this capital expansion grant program. Thanks for listening today, and thank you so much to our guests. Bye-bye.